Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MAN Aluminium Limited Q4 FY26 and full year FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samay Shah from Nuvama Wealth. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today to discuss the Q4 FY26 and FY26 earnings of MAN Aluminium Limited. We would like to thank the company for giving us the opportunity to host this call. On the call with us today, we have the management of the company represented by Mr. Ashish Jain, the Executive Director, and Mr. Umesh Chandrapan, the Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to hand over the call to the management team for their opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for questions and answers. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Umesh Chandrapan, CFO of the company. On behalf of MAN Aluminium Limited, I welcome all our shareholders, investors, analysts, and stakeholders to our Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. FY26 has been a year of strategic transformation for the company. The year was far more significant from a long-term perspective, as it marked the transition of the company from a traditional extrusion player towards a higher value-added aluminium converter. During FY25-26, the company delivered stable top-line performance despite continued volatility in commodity prices, slowdown in exports, and pressure on manufacturing margins. Revenue from operations remained almost flat at INR 809 crores as compared to INR 810 crores in FY25. While the stable revenue was mainly supported by growth in domestic manufacturing business and better realizations, EBITDA increased by 3% to INR 31 crores from INR 30 crores last year. This improvement was achieved through better operational controls, improved value-added product mix, and optimization of overhead cost. Profit before tax decreased by 18% to INR 18 crores as against INR 22 crores in the previous year. The decline was mainly due to increase in raw material prices, lower export contribution, pressure on manufacturing profitability, and higher operating costs arising from the oil and energy crisis during the year. Further, the government restrictions on gas supply also impacted production efficiency and energy costs, thereby affecting overall profitability of the company. Profit after tax also reduced by 19% and stood at INR 13 crores as compared to INR 15 crores last year, primarily which is in line with lower profitability at the PBT level and increased energy-related operational costs. Net worth of the company increased significantly by 54% from INR 178 crores to INR 274 crores. The improvement was primarily driven by the preferential capital raised by the company amounting to INR 83 crores, along with the retention of profits, which further strengthened the company's balance sheet and long-term financial position. Overall, despite the challenging global market conditions, volatility in aluminium prices, and the impact of the oil and energy crisis, including restricted gas supply, the company continued to maintain financial stability. The successful preferential capital infusion during the year significantly strengthened the company's net worth, liquidity position, and balance sheet, enabling the company to continue its expansion and long-term growth initiatives with a stronger financial foundation. During the year, we successfully commissioned the new Italian extrusion press at Pithampur, increasing our extrusion capacity from 10,000 tons per annum to 24,000 tons per annum. We also completed the acquisition and refurbishment of the Dewas facility, which will become the foundation for our future tubing and downstream value-added business. The investments undertaken over the last 2 years have substantially enhanced our technical capabilities, enabling us to manufacture wider profiles, higher strength alloys, complex geometries, and products suitable for aerospace, defense, automotive, and other specialized sectors. At the same time, we acknowledge that the commercial ramp-up of these capacities has taken longer than originally anticipated because customer qualification cycles, project approvals, slower industrial demand in certain sectors, and further geopolitical uncertainties have impacted the pace of utilization. However, we would like to emphasize that the challenge is primarily one of timing and utilization rather than capability creation. The capacities have largely been established, the infrastructure is available, and our focus now is on increasing throughput, expanding value-added offerings, and improving the asset utilization. We remain encouraged by the growing inquiry pipeline, increasing participation in defense, aerospace, solar, and other engineering sectors, and further the opportunities arising from the import substitution initiatives under Make in India. The company remains financially strong following the successful preferential capital raise, which has significantly strengthened our balance sheet and positioned us well to pursue future growth opportunities. Going forward, management's focus will remain on increasing utilization of newly created capacities, expanding our value-added section like fabrication, anodizing, powder coating, and tubing business, improving EBITDA per kg through higher value-added products, strengthening domestic and strategic customer relationships, maintaining financial discipline, and prudent capital allocation. We remain confident that the investments made over the last 2 years will create meaningful shareholder value over the medium term. So that's all. Thank you for your continued trust and support. Over to you, Nuvama team.
Should I open the line for questions?
Yes.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Once again, a reminder to all the participants, I do my best star and one to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Madhur Rathi with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you could help us understand what were the volumes for our extrusion division during Q4 and FY26 and the revenue as well as EBITDA that we did on the on this segment.
Yes, for FY26, the total extrusion capacity as well as value-added segments combined was almost 7,300 metric tons. And the average sale realization per kg was around from extrusion, it was 340 per kg. And again, from the value-added segment, it was comparatively higher.
So can you give me the number for value-added as well? What was the realization per kg?
So we have a blended figure. Generally, we give the numbers on a blended basis. So generally, if you look at EBITDA per ton basis, we are close to about 280 the EBITDA per ton on a blended basis for all value-added products, extrusion, and anodizing, powder coating, everything.
So the realization on a blended basis was rupees 340 per kg.
No, EBITDA per ton.
Okay. EBITDA per ton is 340 per kg.
Yeah, it was in dollar terms, it's about $300 per ton.
$300 per ton. And sir, what was the realization, if you could help me understand?
Yeah. So realization, again, we have a blended, and I can tell you in value crores, ma'am, Umesh, you have the numbers with you, right? So the total sales realization was approximately 300 crores.
Okay, 300 crores for FY26. Okay, fine, got it. Now, sir, if I look at our business going forward, sir, what kind of ramp-up can we expect in our extrusion because our capacity has increased? At what percentage of our volumes are coming from value-added products currently? And in FY27, and so maybe over the next 1 or 2 years, where should we see this number going forward?
Okay. So, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Who's this?
Sir, my name is Madhur Rathi.
Yeah, hi, Madhur. So, Madhur, our ramp-up for the next 3 years is pretty significant. Actually, if you would have seen, end of last year and this financial year, April onwards, we've done a lot of capex. So, by the end of the year, we did a lot of capex. And what has happened is that this end of last year and the beginning of this year is a major investment cycle for us. But these investment cycles to turn into revenue and profitability is taking longer than what we anticipated, was purely because obviously the market dynamics, what Umesh said initially. We can go through details if required. And, our ramp up now is going to be very significant because in the next 2 to 3 years, we are assuming that the market is going to substantially grow in that aspect as well. Our focus has always been, now that we've added extrusion capacity, we are adding capacities for our value-added products. That means anodizing, powder coating, machining, and tubing, which is a new business, which command very significant margins of close to 25% over and above extrusion margins. So we would ideally, in an ideal scenario, if I tell you I would want to sell 100% of my extrusion, about the 24,000 tons that we are planning to achieve in the next 3 years as value-added product. But I mean, the ramp-up's not going to be that significant. But even if we are able to capture the market on 15-20% year on year, we should achieve 80% of our capacities in the next 3 years. We've had this discussion previously as well, and the ramp-up has got delayed this year. So this year we are going to see a very flat year. That's what we feel. Obviously, if the commodity prices correct significantly, the overall economic environment corrects significantly for us, then that ramp up will be faster. But we see that within the next 3 years, we should be in a very good position to achieve at least 75% of our capacities.
Got it. So if I were to think I'm trying to think, sir, although next year we are expecting close to 7,500 kind of volume based on a flattish year. Sir, can't we manufacture the commodity extrusion just till the time we get customer approvals for our value-added products and the requirement as per customers for the specification kind of product?
Yeah, so you're right. So, but also, rather than pursuing, aggressive volume growth at the lower margin level, we are focused on, customer qualification, value-added products, operation stability for the higher end of the product. That's where we believe is our niche market. Just how to try and explain to you. For example, you take some of our competitors, the largest extruders in India today, whether it's a Jindal or Hindalco extrusions, they are also, I would not comment and I don't speculate on their numbers and margins. So, but it's an industry understanding that, they are volume-based players. For us, our focus has always been OEMs and wherever we can add value. So, we've had a rough year, let me be honest, because a lot of our value-added products, which were on the export side, took a hit. You know, that, and that's where, you know, because our, it was the export market where obviously the valuation was better, and then the value-added product where had an additional benefit of margin, that got impacted. So we believe that once that comes back and the domestic value addition play, you know, our margins will increase. So we are working on it in a two-way strategy. One, the existing customers that we supply, you know, standard extrusion to, try and see what we can do in terms of making components and provide them the value addition. And obviously look at players who want, components altogether. So sometimes it's not what I want to do. Sometimes also it's the customer whose requirement is, oh no, you know, we'll come to you only if you give me this said product with such value addition. So it's a mix of both. But we don't turn away the customer as such. We work on, you know, qualifying the customer for either one of the case so that we at least retain, the basic part of the business. And when we feel that we are able to provide them with the solution, we provide that solution to them.
Got it.
Yes, sir.
Just one final question from mine. Sir, has the export, whatever US tariff related export issues, have they succeeded, or where is that for our export business? How should we see this going forward?
So again, the problem is twofold. The tariff on global. So our big part of our market is America, right? Out of 100% of our export, about 80-85% goes to the States. So that's the largest chunk. That's where we are most impacted. The other countries across the globe are pretty stable, and they have a very regular run rate of 2-3% growth year on year. But the States is where the volume is maximum, the profitability is maximum, and the consumption is maximum, and the growth is maximum. So the duty story of, you know, on aluminum products of 50% has been there now since, I think, 2024, when the American administration came into the government. So it has not changed, it's been stagnant. But what is significant to note is that the aluminum commodity prices has shot up. So, and I think it is shot up by more than 50%. So just imagine that, you know, you're going to buy a car which is now taxed at 50%, and then the commodity price has increased by 50%. So your actual net base, only the raw material price has gone up by 75%. So, you know, a lot of customers are either, you know, staying back or waiting for better opportunities, or I don't know what, you know, the customer scenario is, but that's where the slowdown has come, and that's where we've felt the major impact. We believe that, you know, if the prices cool off a little or they stabilize a little, and every inflation cycle, every 5 years where the commodity prices go up, you know, things take time to acclimatize, or, you know, for people to get adjusted to the high rates. And then again, the growth cycle picks up. So this has been that cycle for us. And
also, since the last quarter when the insurance company invoked the terrorism clause, since then the container availability is also affected towards the market.
So, you know, our post-war things became a problem. We had dispatches into the Gulf, Middle East, which just went on standstill of, you know, closed out, I would say. Until today, they have not restarted. So, we believe that obviously it will improve. We cannot have a state, for very long, but it has impacted MAN significantly, you know, because we had a very significant international exposure.
Because earlier we were delivering containers on PIF basis.
Got it. Sir, so if I look at our capacity has increased from 10,000 to 24,000. Sir, so is there an expected cost increase in terms of employee or fixed cost associated with this capacity, or so what kind of cost increases are you expecting for FY27, because our volumes are going to be flat? So if you could help me understand.
So yeah, since again the FY27 would be an investment and commissioning year, where our ramp up cost will, I think, will add up to again by 7 to 10 crores in FY27 this year as well. Unless and until we obtain that operating kind of leverage, this additional cost in form of depreciation, finance cost, and another employee cost, trial runs and all will add up to another 10 crores. We are trying to, commission and trial to close the trial runs and all facilities fast so that the ramp-up cost is reduced and we are able to, enjoy that operating leverage at 24,000 tons of capacity.
Got it. Sir, just a final question. Sir, our gross margins were always, our gross margins have taken a hit. I think they have close to 8% this quarter versus we used to do double digit earlier. So what was the main issue for this gross margin increases and do we have price pass-through clause in our exclusion contracts?
Yes, of course. We have a converter only. So basically we pass on the higher increase whatever the in terms of aluminum prices are increased. But yes, the operating cost we are not able to pass on an immediate basis though we have started discussing with the customers and trying to pass on that cost as well. But to an immediate extent that won't be possible, but we are trying. And another factor of this increasing, the cost is the last year ramp-up cost, also the energy cost and other operating costs like this finance cost and our depreciation and all increase also substantially. That is why our margins have taken a hit. But again, as I just told you that since we add up on the capacity utilization, definitely the fixed cost of absorption will come down and we will be able to see better margins.
Thank you. Mr. Rathi, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Keval Vora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I am new to the company, so I have a few questions. So my first question is regarding the Dewas facility. So what kind of products are we manufacturing there? What are the orders and how do we see it scaling up over the medium term, let's say 3 years?
So Keval, the Dewas facility that we have, to give you some technical understanding, is that that is a precision precision tube line which we have invested. This is actually the first, if not, let me say within the first or second, because everybody does not disclose whether they have it. It's one of the first of its kind in India today. What has happened is that we've invested in the facility, CAPEX and some machinery. To support that facility, we needed some more machinery as well, for which we have raised materials through the preferential issue. What has happened is that, after we finalized that machinery, there has been some cost increases and some other increases. So the project cost basically overall had shot up. So now we are in renegotiation of that particular machinery, which we need to fulfill our plant at Dewas for the raw material for that precision drawing tube. So there has been a delay on this project, but we are hopeful that we are trying to close that this year and make the CAPEX after we renegotiate our machinery investment contracts. And that project has a basis of substantial margin as well, because it is going to be supplied to industries where the technology requirement is very stringent, the qualification is very stringent, and the functionality is very stringent. So these projects are, they're actually quite secretive in nature. They take time. The customers take a lot of audits. So anytime it can take within 6 to 8 months to, even get your basic approvals in place. But we have quite a few customers who are interested, and being one of the, the government's requirements of Make in India and, local sourcing, we are getting a lot of interest in this line. As it is also the first time for us, we are trying to work with the technology providers for this, for some type of, cooperation where they can come and run the facility for us or like a joint venture. But as of now, there's nothing on board, but we are working with them to get this machine, this technology going ahead and, being able to deliver completely. So we had initially projected that, we will reap the benefits much faster than what we anticipated. But to be honest, something like this is quite expensive. And now with the raw material costs up by 50%, the overall consumption also has gone up. But the good part is that this is a complete import substitute business. If not this year or the next year, we are very confident that we should be able to at least do 40-50% of the utilization of that plant.
and that should give us substantial revenue. I generally don't give any guidance and numbers as to what the realization and what the EBITDA per ton margins will be, but they're definitely better than most of the value addition chains that we do, and therefore the realizations will be much better as per what booking and what analysis we've done.
Okay, fair enough. So coming to the sectors which you were talking about, so one of them would be, defense, aerospace, and so on. So
Right.
are the audits taking place in our facilities? Is there any traction on the customer side? And is there any opportunity of exports? So are you in talks with some export customers or so on? So could you give some color on that?
Right. So you asked a question in two ways. So first, I'll refer to the aerospace or defense, automotive, which are nowadays the flavor of the year. So we have multiple qualifications, right? So we perform about 8 to 10 compliance audits and regulatory approvals every year. We completed all of them. So we are, our facility is audited and, fully geared up for most of the automotive and defense spaces. But the Dewas plant is not, right? So because the plant has to come online and get the qualifications, it's taking time, which generally does happen with these, agencies and infrastructure. And even our defense, we have multiple customers where our samples have been submitted. We are waiting on, the development and growth to happen. We already supply to a lot of people who what do you call? They provide more value added and supply to the defense sector. So we are like tier two suppliers. So the tier one guys have been approaching us. We require one particular qualification or basically an audit, which is required for that. So that is pending for us. But nevertheless, that's something that's going to be completed within the next 6 months. But the customers, as I said, on the defense more so than the aerospace side, we have developed their alloys also. We have now had the capacity that in-house in our foundry, we can develop these alloys and supply the material. And we sent samples out as well. I cannot disclose customer names, but the inquiries have been more so domestic.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, one last question regarding the margins. So I understand that there have been, due to geopolitical tension and so on, our margins have been compressed. But when do you see the normalized margins coming in, and what might be that number?
Yes. So honestly telling you what we had forecasted for and what, when we did a multiple road shows and what we were projecting, we were hopeful to achieve that next year, but I'm going to say maybe it's another 2 years out. Because again, as I said, geopolitical issues are more or less sorted, but the commodity prices and obviously the disruption that has happened and the machinery delays that have happened because of the cost increase, we have had to push this out. So, honestly, if you tell me, put my finger on it, it's probably 2 years away, because even 2027, we don't see, even if today we say okay to the machinery, it's 8 months for it to come and commissioning and, 6-8 months for getting things done and established, which requires time, and customer approvals, process validation, qualification cycles, all these things take time. So, we are very positive from a management perspective that this is the road we want to take. These are the investments that we're going to do, because we believe that, selling only extrusion is something which is good. We know it very well. We are technically very strong, but we want to expand our margins. So that's where our focus is.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you for answering my questions. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rajit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I was going through your past phone calls, and there you had mentioned you had an agreement with Tata. So what are the updates on those agreements or something?
So again, I would not let's not take names. Last time, unfortunately, we must have mentioned, but as the transcript goes, and we are bound by heavy compliance. But yes, so companies like that we are working in. Again, qualification takes a lot of time. Samplings have been completed. Everything is ready to go, and we are very positive that it will materialize this year. Actually, that's a good example. So, you know, when we quoted this business, we were from a raw material price 50-60% lesser. So obviously they have their own dynamics. They have to, speak with their investors, customers, and renegotiate prices, which I'm very happy to say has happened. We are now in the stage where our first qualification has been submitted. Now the second batch will go. In fact, it will go in this month, in June itself. And once things materialize, that's going to be a significant good chunk for us. And if it happens, we'll definitely see that those numbers this year.
Okay. Yeah, that's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Madhur Rathi with Countercyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, I just wanted to understand what would be the capex for FY27 and FY28?
Sorry, can you repeat that? Sort of slowly because the volume, there's some disturbance. What did you say?
Yes, sir, I'll do that again. Sir, what would be the capex for FY27 and 28?
Yeah. So, the capex for FY27 most likely would be in the range from 40 to 50 crores, and for FY28, another would be in between 35 to 40 crores.
Sir, for FY28, it would be 30 to 40 crores. Okay. And sir, just one question, sir. This other non-current asset, this is advances to customers of 16.4 crores in our balance sheet.
Yeah. It is advanced. Basically, you must have been updated because we have purchased one office for our Delhi registered office. So we have now purchased one office. So that was the advance that we have given to. And there was some other portion related to some of our, normal operating business.
Okay, so nothing related to equipments that you were speaking at the Devas facility. This is not regarding that.
No. Because for Devas facility, already the talks are going on with our overseas vendors. We are renegotiating the contracts and prices because they are asking for some higher kind of thing. But we are renegotiating all these so that, the optimum use of capital allocation must be there. We should not spend anything like that. So we are renegotiating with that.
Got it. So that was from mine. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Samay Shah with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Sir, I wanted to understand a little bit more about the Italian press that you've, I think, commercialized this year. So how is it different than the traditional presses and how is it adding more value in terms of operational efficiencies? Can you please explain a little bit?
So if I tell you from a layman perspective, if you understand the extruded industry, it's a press, which is a 9-inch press, which, you can buy from China also. Even our press is Italian, but it's come from China. So the good part about our press is that it is specifically for EV batteries, defense and aerospace. In terms of when it comes to technical understanding of a press, it is high tonnage with close diameter. So basically, this press will have stronger throughput for getting that particular quality parameters or the technical parameters in the profile. So that's the reason why we purchased it. Plus, it is a automatic press, which gives us, as I said, better quality, better output, and better performance. And in aluminum, you have certain alloys, right, which are very close to steel. So you have alloys that 2 series, 5 series, 7 series. These are special grade alloys which standard presses cannot extrude. They'll break. So you need a very, very high presses with good, strong tonnage. So these presses are capable of performing those operations.
All right, understood. That is very helpful, sir. My next question is a little bit about the revenue mix over here. So you, I think, mentioned that the overall realization in absolute terms was 300 crores from the manufacturing business this year. So, how much was from exports? Can you explain?
Yeah.
From export, it was almost 50%, about 150 crores.
Okay, and assuming that you said that the further years are going to be flattish, so again a 150 crore revenue from export could be expected?
No, we are trying our level best. We are, you know, diversifying our this geographical concentration risk by focusing upon the domestic market as well. But again, we are also renegotiating with our customers because I told you the reasons were because, you know, some in between the last quarter when that insurance clause was, you know, revoked by the insurance company's terrorism clause. So we are renegotiating the, you know, inco terms with our customers so that they can purchase on FOB basis so that, you know, we can outpass that kind of risk. On product side as well and that price side as well and as well as, you know, different product mix as well. So we are having different parameters where we are developing new customers in the new markets, export markets, where we are targeting CIS markets instead of US. We have appointed some overseas consultants. We are definitely we are trying to increase that share as well. Our very much effort is to retain that share as well as to increase our domestic market share.
Right, understood. And another question, sir, about the business. So I wanted to understand what sort of supply contracts do we enter into. So from our clients, do we get quarterly revenue visibility or a yearly contract is usually entered into?
No, so we don't have any contracts, very fixed written contracts. We generally have non-risk disclosure agreements in place where, you know, we have design and, you know, confidential information related clauses in our contracts. But there is no fixed commitment contracts of supply or delivery. It's generally very open-ended and it changes depending on requirement.
All right.
We might get forecasting for that, but it's very unpredictable. So all of them are open-ended, no fixed term contracts.
Understood. But as you said, the inquiry pipeline is quite robust right now.
That's right.
And sir, lastly, on the industry, I wanted to understand. So we've been hearing that aluminum prices are rising and there has been a shortage. So what sort of issues are you facing right now in the business to procure your supplies, the billets, etc.?
No, so we don't have any shortage. We don't foresee any shortage in India also. If there is any temporary situation where one of the primary producer plants are under breakdown, renovation or something like that. So we have been in this space now since, you know, our promoter has been in this space since 40 plus years. So for raw material for us is actually, you know, today we survive is one of our core strengths in terms of procurement and getting the material at the right price. So we are capable of getting that material. We are capable of sourcing that material domestic or internationally. But we pride in ourselves and most of our export customers want make in India and made and, you know, origin of the smelting also to be in India. So we like to do that and give them that benefit which helps them satisfy their local, you know, government formalities and regulations. Because, you know, today supplying from raw material from China or Russia is generally not required in, especially in the States. You know, other countries are still okay. But states and Europe requires declaration of where this material is coming from. So as of today, there is no issue. I don't foresee any issue as well in the future. You know, demand is increasing. But at the same time, you know, it's useful to note that I think I also read an article last year or for last year or something. The total exports of aluminum from India has dropped by 50%. Even for MAN, we have taken about a 30-40% hit. Since the last 3 years, slowly, you know, 10 to 15% every year. So, that is, I think, you know, obviously because of the duty structure that happened in the US and, you know, internationally, you're getting material subsidized as well. But the domestic story is good. You know, we've managed to claw back a lot of our business domestically. And we are focused on export. As, you know, Umesh was mentioning, we have people who are consultants and, you know, brokers who are there internationally who source orders for us. But we are also focused on domestic because domestic growth story, especially on the defense side, you know, we are seeing a lot of inquiries and, you know, hopefully we are quite hopeful that we should be able to convert at least few of them, if not all.
Right, sir. That's great. Thank you so much for answering my questions in so much detail. Good luck for the future quarters. I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Madhur Rathi with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just have one clarification. Sir, we did 300 crore revenues in the extrusion division, and we did 7,300 metric ton of volume. So that is closer to 410,000 ton realization per metric ton. And sir, we are saying that we did 340 rupees per kg of EBITDA. So that is closer to 340,000. So I think I'm getting it wrong somewhere.
There's some confusion. You have heard it wrong. Basically, 340 was in terms of that dollar per ton.
$340. Okay, now it makes perfect sense. And sir, how should we look at this number once the volume picks up? Can this improve to 500, 600 with value-added product and volume increasing? What is our aspiration as a management to take this to?
If I give out numbers, it will become tough, but definitely... EBITDA per ton margins, depending on what we do value add, will increase substantially. And what we also work on is the value addition in terms of, a mill finish which is getting machined, anodized, or a mill finish which gets drawn and then anodized, that will have a coupling effect on increasing the margin. So that's where we work on. Again, I'm refraining from giving you numbers and, percentages, but, our improvement in profitability as utilization increase across extrusion, anodizing, fabrication and tubing business will have a significant increase, not this year, but next year, next to next year.
Got it. So that was from my end. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, so I obviously, first I would like to say that, I think the year had, the 26 was not great. Actually, maybe the end of 26 was not great. I don't want to give any, false hopes or anything, but, we are working very strong in terms of the management, our commitment to investment in the right way, get maximum value out of our investments and, ensure that we reach our maximum utilizations is our priority, which we are focused on this year. We've had market conditions and dynamics that have not helped us, but and needless to say, it has not helped a lot of people in the industry. So, our focus remains the same. We are quite committed that the investments that we have made in the last 2 years will create meaningful shareholder value over the, medium to long term. And we request, everybody to be patient and hopeful. Steadily we will achieve whatever we have set out to be. And, we thank most of the investors for their support. And that's about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of MAN Aluminium Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.